If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the program. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, and you're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Cliff, Ethel, how you doing this evening?
Doing good, doing good.
Awesome. Thank you.
For another show.
All right. The call-in number for callers is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Let's give a couple of shout-outs. We got Duke Brooks, who and Stephen makes this time available to A Just Cause, and we want to be sure that Conservative Nation Media knows that A Just Cause and A Just Cause Coast to Coast are very appreciative to Duke and Stephen Smith on giving us this time on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Cliff, as far as what do we got going tonight?
Well, we want to talk about, you know, pro se litigants. We found, you know, some articles that are pretty troubling. Some give good information that, you know, they say, well, if you go pro se, you try to represent yourself, that you're just guaranteed to lose. Well, we've got some information that says that there's some information to the contrary on that a lot of these pro se litigants are, you know, have a better chance percentage-wise than when they actually have an attorney, and especially those court-appointed attorney/negotiators. And also, man, there's this real troubling story about this federal judge up here in our, you know, home state of Colorado. Good old Colorado always got something crazy going on. So we're going to deal with that here tonight, too.
All right. Also, our guest for tonight, we're going to have Brenda White. From her talk show Up All Night with Brenda White. And Brenda, Ethel, that's one of our good friends who is staunch supporter of A Just Cause and the IRP6. So that should be a very good discussion. Brenda is also a Tina Turner impersonator. So, you know, that's one of the other things that she does. We also have, as our for our exoneree moment, we're going to have Yousef Salam. He's part of the Central Park Five. And Ethel, I think you met some of the Central Park Five when you went to a conference back in North Carolina earlier this year. Was that the Innocence Project?
The Innocence Project. Yeah.
So that should be another good conversation there later in the program. Let's get this disclaimer in here. Cliff and I and Ethel are not attorneys, and A Just Cause Coast to Coast is not a program that provides legal advice. The opinions expressed during this program by the host, or rather the guest, let me put that right, do not necessarily reflect that of ConservativeNationMedia.com or A Just Cause or A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Please contact your legal professionals for specific legal needs. And as always, thank you for tuning in to the program. Again, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. One other thing I want to throw out there, too, before we get going here, is that A Just Cause started a new petition on change.org. So go out to change.org, and we are requesting that Attorney General Eric Holder investigate the IRP6 case, specifically regarding the 200 pages of transcript that are missing/omitted. You know, that's something that our attorneys, Mark Garagos, Tina Glandian, and Cornell Johnson are currently working on. Right. They just submitted another brief yesterday on that, so we're expecting to hear some good things on that.
Yeah.
So let's get right to the news. You know, we stated last week that we want to, you know, bring out something that's, you know, makes people think and also makes them look at how crazy our judicial system is. Now, earlier this year, folks heard about Jerry Hartsfield in Texas. Mm-hmm. This gentleman has been in prison for 33 years. Now, that's extreme. I mean, we're talking 12,000 days, and this man is still in custody, although the court system said that he overturned his case. And he's been waiting on a new trial ever since then.
Since 1980.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
So in June, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, with a great deal of prodding from the federal courts, it shouldn't take the federal courts to prod you on something like this, but the federal courts prodded them and confirmed that Hartfield was currently in custody for no good reason. Does that sound familiar
that
to somebody?
Familiar.
Yeah.
Who does that sound like?
Sounds just like our buddy Eric Holder.
And so Mr. Holder stated in August that there are a bunch of people in prison for no good law enforcement reason. And it says here, under penalty of no conviction or sentence, the state judge ruled that this man was in prison for no good reason, mm-hmm. yet he has still not been released. Mm-hmm. Instead, prosecutors intend to – they're trying to retry this guy. And they're fighting to keep him in prison until you know, they can come up with some good reason, I guess. If it takes 33 years to come up with a reason to – Go ahead, Cliff.
I mean, looking at this article.
I can tell you're puzzled.
Looking at this article, you look at, they're saying, well, they're trying to have a reason to retry him, and they're trying to keep him in prison until the retrial. Now, he's been there 33 years. Now, there's no physical evidence.
No physical
they're
evidence.
They're saying most likely any physical evidence that's left.
It's been lost.
Is just gone. Then they say that, you know, he's facing a retrial that he could win.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, his constitutional right to a speedy trial has long since been violated. You're talking about 33 years, 70 days and 33 years. I don't think you can get enough extensions to get 70 days
and,
into 33
and
years.
Check this out. It says that Hartfield is now 57 years old,
mm-hmm.
and even had his original sentence, this stinks right here, if his original sentence had been upheld,
mm-hmm.
he could have been released on parole by now.
Wow.
And they're still trying to, like, no, we want to do, we want to retry you and keep you in prison until we retry. Now, life is 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he spent that, and, you know, so he's done life and a half, and they still don't want to let him go.
And still talking about at least another 2 years?
That's because they're trying to use the system against him. And, you know, they're saying that his constitutional right to a speedy trial has long since been violated. No kidding.
Really?
I mean,
you don't even have to make that statement.
And it says that the state lawyers are blocking an immediate review. I think this is what you're talking about, Ethel, of this issue, arguing that they must make that the attorneys must make a claim by filing a regular motion
mm-hmm.
in his newly pending retrial case, and that he cannot appeal such ruling until after that retrial.
That's it.
Why are they putting this man through this?
That's it.
I mean, this is just crazy. And like you said, they want to make him wait a couple more years.
Yeah.
And it says that there is literally no legal precedent for state lawyers that they can cite that could help them justify this continual confinement.
That's it.
This is crazy.
That's all they do. They say, okay, well, the judge says, okay, he shouldn't be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Then the prosecutor says, well, I want to do a motion to basically appeal that. Then they spend years and years appealing this man's the fact that his conviction got overturned. It's totally ridiculous. I mean, the system is so broken. It's so sick. And yet they continue to do this. It's like, when does the judge tell the prosecutor, you know what, he's been there long enough, let it go. You're not going to get a conviction. There's no evidence. Let the man out and leave it at that.
And, you know, Cliff, when I read this thing about his constitutional right to a speedy trial has long since been violated, you know, that's one of the items that's, you know, speedy trial violation is one of the things that on the IRP case.
Exactly.
That's one of the points of appeal.
That's right.
Where it's like there is no consideration at all mm-hmm. for the timeline that is set forth. And then when that's brought up, then the system tries to say that the defendant is trying to game the system.
Mm. You right. know? It's like, I'm not trying to game the system. I'm saying you took 5 years to even indict me. And then after that, you took 2 more years to take me to trial. And I'm saying you violated the Speedy Trial Act, my constitutional right to a speedy trial. Now you got all of these witnesses who can't remember anything. You got your so-called evidence, which is just now a bunch of sheets of paper that mean absolutely nothing to anybody.
Exactly.
But then you don't want to deal with the fact that you should have dealt with this a long time ago.
And then, and so now you have the IRP6 have been sitting in prison,
right,
away from their families for going on 16 months now, and there is all types of evidence to show, well, number one, to show that they were doing legitimate business.
Yeah.
And folks, if you want to follow as far as the IRP6 case, you can go out to ajustcause.com, a-justcause.com, or freetheirp6, that's the number 6, .org, freetheirp6.org. So on the IRP6 case, first of all, let's establish the fact that they were wrongfully convicted,
exactly,
that there was evidence that was not allowed to be presented. There were expert witnesses that were not allowed to testify.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about the speedy trial violation, and I mean, we've been talking about 200 pages for the last couple of 3 or 4 weeks now,
right,
where Judge Arguello and the court reporter, Darlene Martinez, have omitted 200 pages of transcript, which substantiate the fact that there was a Fifth Amendment violation. So you got all of this going on. And so, you know, caller 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Again, callers, you can call in, ask questions, 718-305-7176.
ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
All right. So before we go into that hard break, after, while we're on the subject of wrongful convictions and before we get into this pro se, I know you found an article about a 16-year-old who was in prison for 3 years.
Yeah.
Share a little bit on
that. That's really an interesting story. You know, a teen spent 3 years in a notorious New York jail without ever having been convicted or put on trial. Are you kidding me? That just doesn't even make any sense.
And
what year are we living in?
Does that even give any indication as to, you know, why they, you know, such an egregious act that they feel that they can have this 16-year-old sitting there without a trial?
You know, it's weird because, okay, as the story goes, this kid was walking home, sophomore in high school, walking home from a party in the Bronx, arrested on a tip that he robbed somebody three weeks earlier. Okay, the police hauled him off to Rikers Island, a 16-year-old.
Wow.
Okay, a prison they say is known for punishing conditions and overuse of force. And they held the boy because he was not able to pay a $10,000 bail. This is ridiculous.
So he's sitting there waiting for someone to pay a $10,000 bond?
Exactly.
For 3 years.
Exactly. After 33 months in jail, okay, he said a judge offered him freedom in exchange for a guilty plea, threatening that he could face 15 years in jail if convicted. Well, he refused, bless his heart. Then one day, he said, he was released without any explanation.
Wow.
After 3 years. And in this, he spent 400 of those days in solitary confinement.
So they just say, well.
How many days?
400 days in solitary confinement.
Deprived of meals, assaulted.
That's 13 months.
I'm telling you.
And I mean, and you haven't even been charged with anything.
With nothing.
You've been arrested. You're a suspect,
yeah.
And since you can't bail yourself out, we're going to keep you in here for 3 years. And now, since you won't do your plea deal and say, well, yeah, I'm guilty, if you say you're guilty, we'll let you go, give you some probation, give you parole. But since you won't do that, well, let's just sneakily release you and let you go and don't say anything.
Well, and you know what? I would guarantee you if we were to dig a little bit deeper on that one, they would probably say they had him in solitary confinement for his own protection because he was a 16-year-old.
Okay, and he attempted suicide. You got it.
Yep. And where can folks find more on that one?
This is this came from, what is this, thinkprogress.org.
Okay, so folks, you can go out and look at thinkprogress.org. And the earlier article that we were talking from on Jerry Hartfield, that's in The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And on that one, actually, Mr. Hartfield, he's been transferred to a hospital for an undisclosed illness. So here's another case where you got a gentleman that, you know, I don't know if it's a life-threatening kind of thing, but, you know, he should have long been released from prison.
Yeah.
718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Our call-in number for tonight is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Later in the program, we're going to have Brenda White from Up All Night with Brenda White, and also Yousef Salam, one of the Central Park Five during our exoneree moment. We ask that you would follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. If you like more information about the IRP6 case, which we are talking about during the program, you can go to a-justcause.com or freetheirp6.org. Also, we have a new petition at change.org, and you can go out there and look for information about the petition to get Attorney General Eric Holder to look into the 200 missing pages of transcript in the IRP6 case. Okay, let's move to our next subject, talking about pro se defendants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a question that we get all the time in the IRP6 case. And they say, you know, why did they go pro se? Well, we're going to tell you about that in a second. But before we do that, we have a case that happened in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Ricky Allen versus the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And this guy, he was actually accused and convicted of burglarizing a church, of all places. But there were several circumstances that came up. Mr. Allen defended himself pro se. Mm-hmm. Well, get this. And this is going to actually sound a little familiar. I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on these sidebar conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the judge appointed an advisory counsel for Mr. Allen, but during a sidebar, the judge did not allow Mr. Allen to come to the sidebar. I mean, the man is defending himself. The attorney, the advisory attorney was at the sidebar, but Mr. Allen was not.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up getting convicted of the crimes. And then, you know, and when it went to appeal, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court of Kentucky basically stated that Mr. Allen's Sixth Amendment right was violated mm-hmm. because he was not really allowed to defend himself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Constitution gives every person the right to counsel, whether that counsel is yourself, whether it's a court-appointed attorney or an attorney that a person pays for, you still have that right. And to say that, you know, I'm representing myself and then you don't let me in on every part of the trial, who knows what that judge and a court-appointed attorney, you know, just the person who's basically negotiating your prison stay, who knows what they're talking about.
That's right.
And for you not to let that person who's representing the defendant, mm-hmm. for you not to let them in on those conversations are not supposed to be privy against the defendant's representation. If I represent myself, I want to know what you're saying about
absolutely.
Me.
And you know, they considered that, you know, a critical stage in the trial proceedings. And it says that the Sixth Amendment, that it left this defendant mm-hmm. unrepresented mm-hmm. at this critical stage in the trial
exactly.
proceeding.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a matter of record that he's defending himself. Well, how are you going to defend yourself? And who knows what conversation is going on over there? And you know, are they plotting to put you away and yeah. ensuring that you don't say anything?
And not only that, no, I was reading an article the other day, and I'm thinking it was the one about what just recently happened with the George Zimmerman situation. And they were talking about in that article that the defense attorneys are appointed depending upon who the judge is. That's kind of weird to me. Why would they be appointed depending upon who that judge is over that case?
Really?
That's news to me.
That
makes you think, you know, or does this judge have certain defense attorneys that they use specifically?
Yeah, we're going to have to look into that a little bit more, because that sounds like a subject all in itself.
Yeah, that's a deep one.
I mean, that ranks right up there, or I guess using the word rank, that ranks right down there with with, you know, prosecutors getting bonuses for convictions.
Go.
I mean, that's crazy.
Right.
So,
but I mean, you look at this, you know, one of our support staff, our media support here at Just Cause Radio, you know, they're always doing their job. But one of them pulled up this article in Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you, Denver, it's something wrong with us here, Denver, Colorado.
No, with
something
them.
Wrong with them. Yeah, I'm with you, Ella.
Yeah, something wrong with them. Now, you have the start of this article says, according to a U.S. magistrate judge of the federal court in Denver, no pro se litigants are allowed their day in court. Mm-hmm. This judge basically said, you will not win if you come in here pro se.
How
you
can you go court. On the record
who
saying something
judge?
Like that?
How do you say it? That's what I'm trying to find out, because they had a list of them. You have, let's see.
Was this just one judge or several?
Oh,
is this
one. Federal or state? This, you know, is it county? You know, because you know, we've already seen that in one of the counties up there, that's where the DA is paying the prosecutors
right,
the bonus.
Like, the more convictions you get, the more bonus I'll pay you. So lie, cheat, steal, kill if you want to, if you feel like it. As long as you get a conviction, I'm going to give you an extra check. Now, this one is a former Colorado district judge.
Uh-huh.
And this says that Magistrate Michael J. Watanabe
uh-huh.
told her, this is Suzanne Schell,
that's
who testified.
That's a federal judge.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a federal judge.
Yeah, yeah, I recognize that name.
Yes,
this woman testified. She wrote an affidavit after representing herself and said that Magistrate Watanabe told her that pro se litigants never win in this court.
Wow.
How do you as a judge say, basically, you're not going to win? You come in here pro se, you're convicted.
You know what?
It's not even a trial.
We need to find the transcript from that trial.
Yeah.
And pull it up. And, you know, and that takes us to the IRP 6 case, and where, you know, again, the question is always asked, you know, well, Why did the guys represent themselves pro se? And you know, the guys, David Banks, he actually prepared a narrative on that. You know, he said that we feel that firing our attorneys was the best and most important decisions we could have made in fighting our case. And, you know, he said that they repeatedly heard from the defense attorneys that they had to be very careful not to offend the judge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the attorneys should be more concerned, or David is saying that the attorneys should be more concerned with putting on an aggressive defense and less concerned with this judicial idolatry, you know, basically worshiping the judge. Because the judge, and Cliff, you've talked about this many times, where the judge should function as an impartial referee.
That's right.
And rise above the favoritism towards a specific party. I think we have Brenda on the line there. So let's go on and bring Brenda into this conversation. We're going to keep talking about this, but let's bring Brenda White into the conversation from Up All Night with Brenda White.
Oh, yeah.
Brenda, are you there?
I am here, boys, and I am not going to cuss.
Oh, and you better right. quit calling me a boy.
Hey, Ethel, I've been sitting here enjoying the conversation, and you know I get riled up about this mess. I just got off the phone with Judge Neal. He said to tell you all hello. He is so happy for you, for what you're doing and how we are pushing this thing and this injustice. As you were speaking about these judges and the judge not allowing somebody to the sidebar, it brought to my mind that I have been fighting with Bank of America, a.k.a. Countrywide, for the past 8 years.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I beat them, and they just can't accept it. And so when I started fighting with them again these last 4 years, I answered their lawsuit with 150 pages. And I missed the court date because nobody told me. And
what?
Then when I spoke with the judge's office, they said to me, well, we don't send out the notifications for the case, for the trial or the hearings. The attorney representing them is supposed to notify you. You know I cussed. That's like having the fox guard the hen house.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're in the wrong. They know I'm going to beat them. And so you expect them to tell me when to show up for the hearing.
Wow.
It's amazing the injustice that we're having to deal with here. You know, it's time for a revolution. I just put Nina Simone in my queue for tonight because I have to continue to play that. We have got to get back in the streets. And it's amazing that we need to repeat the 60s and start marching every day on these people.
And, you know, Brenda, when we appreciate what you've been doing as far as for the IRP6, I mean, you've been right there, oh, gosh, for months now and fighting on their behalf and posting posters out on your Facebook and on your website and talking about them on your show.
Every day.
Yeah, and your godfather – Judge Neal, who is a retired federal judge, and you know, the court that's there. And you know, Brenda, when we're talking about this thing as far as pro se, I mean, have you ever heard any such thing where a federal judge would actually say something like that? I mean, you know, we got the IRP6, and David Banks said that he fired his first attorney because he was told that it was his responsibility, basically, to offer a plea and decide, you know, whether you wanted a trial before jury or judge. And David is like, you know, I'm innocent.
Which is an absolute lie. That is not his job. He works for you. He's supposed to do what you tell him to do and fight for his freedom. And, you know, the first thing that I do, Sam and Cliff and Ethel, if I'm in a case with a lawyer, first I want to know if you believe me.
And you know, Brenda, if I didn't know better.
You believe me? Because if they believe you, then maybe they will fight for you. But I want you to look me in my face and tell me if you believe me. If you don't believe me, I don't want you on my side.
There you go. I mean, they have to be there to support you and not just be there as a negotiator. And, you know, that's one of the things where...
See, negotiating makes it easy for them. Then they don't have to study and put any time in the case. Then they can go on about chasing hookers and drinking and stuff after work every day. That's as close as I'm going to come to cussing, y'all. But you know what they do. This is amazing. Fortunately, fortunately, when I fought Countrywide, Brenda,
hold that thought just for a second, please, and then we're going to catch you on the other side of the break. But go ahead, Cliff. We're going to get back to you, Brenda, in just a second.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off this great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
A Just Cause coast-to-coast where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com. The phone number for tonight is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. On the phones right now this evening, we have Brenda White. She's going to be with us just a little while. Brenda is the host of Up All Night with Brenda White. And Brenda, you still there with us?
Yes, I'm here with you, darling.
Yeah. Brenda, we're happy that you're able to join the call tonight. Yeah. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, pro se defendants, and you were getting ready to make a point about the case that you're working on. Go ahead.
I was fortunate that when I fought Countrywide and Bank of America on my own, I was very fortunate that I told the truth. I wrote it down, and the judges saw the truth, and they were really there. I mean, one of the judges told them that they were the low-down bees that he had seen in 30 years being on the bench. And I was fortunate. But, you know, I feel like we're back in the 60s here with this mess happening. You know, this is To Kill a Mockingbird kind of stuff. What has happened to our family members, the IRP6. This is really, this is To Kill a Mockingbird kind of mess that went on in this courtroom and have these men locked up from their families. You know, I fuss about this every day. I try to figure out, and I ask my audience every Tuesday night on Let's Talk About It, what in the world could the Republicans and the Tea Parties have in mind when they insist that you don't have an abortion? They want to take away birth control pills. They want all these children to come here, and then they don't want to feed you. They don't want to give you any WIC, any food stamps, anything. They don't want to help you with education. What's in their minds? And I'm really thinking, and I know sometimes it sounds like a conspiracy theory, which I'm not much about those, but Jackie and I are psychic police, and we just really believe that they hope to pump the jails, you know, the prisons. They're privatizing prisons everywhere, and I just think they want bodies in there to make more money.
Well, you know, Brenda, there is this discussion as far as the prison industrial complex. And, you know, I want to go back to this thing that we were talking about earlier as far as the attorney being there to work on your behalf. And you know, that's one of the things where David Banks was stating in his narrative that, you know, he wanted an attorney, as everyone else should as well. Like you're saying, the attorney is there to work for you.
That's these right. Attorneys,
they were not interested in a strategy. They were not interested in interviewing witnesses. They were not interested in putting together a case. I mean, you know, David makes a very good point. It's like you sit down with your attorney, you come up with a strategy, and if the strategy doesn't work, then, you know, the defendant has to live with the consequences, not the attorney.
Right.
But at least give me a fighting chance. I mean, you know, sit down with, let's figure
you
out.
You are there to advise me and work for me. And when you get an attorney that does nothing but just tell you to take what it, you know, it's kind of like the Republicans are telling Barack Obama, take what we give you. But the people chose him. You know, we're not there to do what you, he's not there to do what they you want him to do. But it seems like the attorneys, a lot of times, you know, again, our conspiracy theories, I think the suckers be taking kickbacks.
Well,
you know, just
Brenda,
get them to settle the case and tell them to plead, you know, guilty. And so many people plead guilty because attorneys frighten the hell out of them.
And you know, so, even in this case where the defendants, and I say defendants, that's the way David wrote it in here, but the IRP6, and we haven't given all their names yet tonight, but we you know, we're talking about David Banks, Gary Walker, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Dave Zappolo, and Demetrius Harper. Mm-hmm. You know, and the IRP6, you know, they, Brenda, they even wanted to meet with the U.S. attorney, John Walsh, to discuss a proffer that they had put together, which had overwhelming evidence of their innocence.
Right.
And the court-appointed attorneys at that time, the defense attorneys, did not, originally they agreed to coordinate a meeting with U.S. attorney John Walsh, but then later they decided that they weren't going to do it. I mean, the IRP6 met with their attorneys at one of the at one of these attorneys' offices, and they walk in. Now, if you can visualize this, and I want our listeners to visualize this, you are the defendants, and you're going on trial together. All of you walk in for a meeting, and in previous meetings, your attorney would sit with you, and you guys would discuss things. Mm-hmm. Well, you walk into a meeting, and six attorneys are sitting on one side of the table, as if, you know, since it's football season, we'll talk about it, you know, in terms of football. As if you know, you just got out of the huddle and you walked up to the line of scrimmage, and there's the attorneys there ready to go up against you. And you're sitting across the table from them, and then they pretty much defy you and say that they are not going to accompany you in a meeting with the U.S. Attorney John Walsh.
Okay. Need you say more?
Right.
I'm thinking kickback. You know, it's ludicrous. I was fighting against Kraft Foods and was fighting them for 7 years, and we get to a mediation, and they come in, and my attorney is sitting there, and the mediator is sitting there, and he says to me, well Brenda, the Kraft Foods attorney says that they will they'll forget all about this if you pay $20,000 for them out of pocket legally. I ain't paying them so and so's nothing. I ate their food, lost my tooth. I'm not giving them a dime. Well, how about 50? Did you understand what I said? And my attorney, well, maybe 5. You get out of this room. You supposed to be on my side. Did you hear me say I'm not giving them, as my mother used to say, one red dime?
That's right.
Yes.
Not giving them
I'm done with that. And then, of course, I lost my temper and my religion, forgot I was a preacher's kid, cussed everybody in the room, walked out of there, okay, you don't pay nothing. Just don't write no song about us.
Hey, Brenda, let us go to the phones here before this next break.
Okay, baby.
Who do we have on the call there, Cliff?
Hey, we have Rose on the line. Rose, welcome to the show. You have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I was listening to Brenda. As she said, this kind of reminds us of the way the 60s were, and that's that our voices were loud. The only reason we got change in this country to the extent that we have it today, which is truly not complete, but mm-hmm. even to that point, our voices were made loud.
Yeah.
Truly there was a civil war, and we had to fight and fight and fight to finally be heard. I think the problem today is that our voices are too low. They're not loud enough to be heard, and they don't last long enough. I go back to the Trayvon Martin thing. They had a march, and then they had another little march or whatever, and a few people did some things. But after that, everybody goes back home. And I think until we make our voices heard consistently and continually to make them as loud as we can, that we are not going back to the days of slavery and oppression.
Yes.
And I truly believe that until we as a people come together and make our voices heard and make it loud and unite together as one, and not divided against each other, we'll never be able to stop the injustice that's going on in our country against minorities and against the black race of people. We are not any more criminals than you have white, Hispanics, or anybody else. Why is it that most of the prisons are filled with black people? It's because black people don't holler loud enough. We're too busy living our own lives, doing our own things. And our people are sitting and rotting in prison while we're out having a great time doing what we want to do, living our lives as if our brothers and sisters don't matter. I think we're living in a time, as Brenda said, we better return to the 60s and start making our voices be heard.
We marched every day. We fought every day. When I came up, when I was a junior in high school, our city, we boycotted the school. We didn't even go to school for a whole semester until you start treating us right in this city. We had Judge Neal. You know, we were in JET, and I was telling Judge Neal today, remember the, I said, I looked up the JET back in 1970, whenever it was that we boycotted the schools, and they described Judge Neal then as a agitator, you know. Because we were in the days of Fannie Lou Hamer. I can remember Judge Neal taking us in the car in the back roads of Mississippi to go to a church meeting and all of this stuff. And the kids today, you know, I said the other day I'm posting for the IRP6, and I'm determined just to get one or two likes a day every time I post. So I'm writing people personally. It's amazing. I can post something about me singing or a picture of me singing, and I'll get 100 hits.
Post
something about the IRP6 and this injustice, and we need your support. There is power and strength and numbers. Just go over and like the page, and I'll get one person maybe say I like, you know. But that does not deter me. But we have a whole generation of children here that are lost, and we made things too easy for them, our marching back in the 60s. Now they can walk down the street with a white girl and hold her hand and have babies and all this stuff and vice versa, and they think they're free. They think they don't have anything to fight for anymore. They are so wrong. If you watch this mess every day, these people are trying to take away your voting rights.
And you know, Brenda,
your voting rights, baby, they're already trying to stop you from going into it. If a owner don't want you in their store, they should have the right not to have you in their store.
And you know, Brenda, to echo something that you were saying, and also something that Rose was saying, in the sense that you know, we have African Americans who have aspired to to the highest position in the land.
Right.
And then you have his chief sheriff, so to speak, as Jay Arrington referred to him, in Attorney General Eric Holder, and you got President Barack Obama, and these folks are in positions where they can do something and bring about change.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything
nothing,
about it. Rose, thanks for your call. And we want to, Brenda, stay right there. We're going to come back here in just a moment. Cliff.
Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon. And rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it. But you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Cliff, Ethel, we got a good one going tonight.
We got it on.
The number is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Brenda White's on the phone with us right now from Up All Night with Brenda White. Brenda.
Telling it.
Yes, I am here, guys, always fired up about this subject. And like I said, you know, we've got to get our attention focused on the right thing. I mean, you put somebody up twerking on Facebook or Twitter and Google, and boy, you get 1,000 hits. And you put something up about someone being railroaded and put in prison like these six men, the IRP6, and folks just look the other way. I know people, I know you're tired of all the bad news that you see every day, but you can't turn your back. One day it's going, you know, what is that thing, then they came for me? One day they're going to come for you. This could be you. The IRP6 could be your husbands, your fathers, your brothers, your uncles, your nephews. If you don't get involved, I'm telling you.
is going
and
to be
you
next.
Brenda, even when you're looking at it from the media standpoint, it's really the same way. The media won't even get involved until the person is coming out of prison after 20 or 30 years.
Yes, and then they want to tell the story. You know, Jackie and I, you know, here at Let's Talk About It, which is coming up in the next 10 minutes, I think what we do is we fuss about the news more than anything. Because, you know, it took them forever to understand that when they kept talking about this president is weak, he's weak, and the Republicans, look, what is he supposed to do when you have already laid out your plans on the day that he was inaugurated to say no to anything he does?
To anything
that he does, say no to it.
Well, you know what, Brenda, when you're saying this, you know, about people, they'll tweet about, you know, you did a good show or something like that, but they don't want to get involved in the fight.
They don't want to get involved.
Now that, you know, people are all the happy, joy stuff, you know, they're like, oh, well, yeah, that's great. But when it comes down to let's draw our swords, let's put on our battle gear, that's when you do not find the courageous. That's when, you know, like in the Bible, when Gideon told him, he said, let all the fearful people, all y'all that's scary, just go on home, you know?
Because he said in his word 365 times, have no fear. You know, I'm like Martin Luther. You can kill me tonight, but you ain't going to eat me. But I'd be darned if I'm going to sit here and just let you trample on my rights. You know, today from Rush Limbaugh and Fox is that President Obama has negotiated with terrorists. They love to fight. They don't want, it's not their children that's going to war. You must talk with your enemy.
And the thing is, if we don't say that we're going to fight against any injustice, wherever it comes from, whoever it looks like, whatever color it is, if it's Democrat, if it's Republican, because when you look at it, you say, okay, the government, they won't come across the aisle. They won't help each other. They won't get in the fight together. Mm-hmm. And until something drastic happens. Now, you know, they all came together at 9/11. They said, well, hey, we're a nation. We're going to fight as a nation against terrorism. Mm-hmm. That's great. But now we as a nation need to say this injustice that we're watching.
That we're facing right here at home is our biggest fight.
And the thing is, you got infighting. I mean, you know, a house divided is not going to stand.
Exactly.
I mean, we have Democrat friends, we have Republican friends, we have Tea Party friends. You know, it's like the thing is, Tea Party folks not trusting Tea Party folks now.
Yeah.
You got Republicans not trusting Republicans.
Listen,
you got
these people are not up there for us, for anybody in the U.S. They're simply up there for themselves. I keep telling my white brothers and sisters, they are screwing you too, right along with us.
Yeah.
You know, if you are not on their level, and most everybody in the Senate and Congress are millionaires, and this is all about them, they're not fighting for these people. You know, I said I could run for Congress or something, but they put me out for cussing.
the bottom line,
you know,
Brenda,
just like my grandmother, my father was a minister, my mother didn't cuss, my father didn't cuss, but boy, my grandmother, that's like DNA in me, and when you get me riled up, sometimes I'm just going to cuss you. Now, you know, but Judge Neal taught me when I was a young girl, and my mother and my father standing up for our rights, our home was shot into, set on fire, all sorts of stuff when I grew up. So, you know, you can't scare me no more.
Yeah.
I've already gotten death threats from Let's Talk About It. I'm going to keep on talking about it.
Yeah.
When you're wrong, when you're crooked, I'm going to keep on talking about it. I don't care who you are.
Right,
I don't
right.
care what party you're from. Hey. I'm going to keep on talking about it. And every night when I pray at the altar on Wednesday nights, I don't cuss there, y'all. Y'all can come. I don't cuss there.
Wow.
Every Wednesday night, I call each of the IRP6 names because I want people to get their names in their heads, and I want these children to do these daily 30-minute live diaries. I've told Olivia about this. I want them to do these video diaries. Let people know how they're feeling. If I can get the IRP6 kids doing these video diaries and floating them every day,
about what happened to them when their fathers were taken, I think this will go a whole lot further.
That's right. And
because
Brenda, I don't know if you caught the stuff that we had.
But when you have these children tell what's happening to them, and you can do this on live free for 30 minutes a day, on live, I sent it to the link to Libby. I think it's live stream or something. But
right.
I want the IRP kids to do these live 30-minute diaries. Just do it every day. Come home from school, take 30 minutes, and tell what your day was like. What went wrong? You wish your father was there. What happened when he left? You see, you have to appeal to the public, and you know, and children will lead us most of the time. Right. But we need to show how this is affecting these children, that these men are locked up for not a darn thing other than inventing a product that was better than the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing, Brenda, is that we got to stress the point that, and Cliff made the point, you made the point, in the sense that if it's not happening to you, then it's like you're oblivious.
Keep on waiting. It will happen to you. Just stay right there where you are doing nothing.
And that's why we have to continue to push to bring these kind of injustices to the top. We have to continue to educate people on it and just, you know, continue to put this in people's faces as far as, you know, there is injustice that's going on in the land. We need reforms.
Mm-hmm.
As Cliff was talking about, you know, there's that divide in the aisle.
Yeah.
We need to have folks reaching across the aisle and so forth.
That's
Brenda,
right,
and
we can't waste our energy being angry with people who don't pay attention. I just keep on putting it out there, just keep, every day. If I get one like a day, and every day I go over to the IRP 6 page and see that I got another like, that shows that something is working. And so, you know, there are so many people with problems. There are so many people that were locked up long before the IRP 6. So I understand folks are just, everybody's involved with their own trouble. But if we stay on it and keep this in their faces, it will come around. God doesn't make any mistakes. You know, I said in prayer one night that, Lord, I don't know why you chose the IRP 6. Maybe it was for them to go to prison and spread your message. Maybe it was so that when they went to prison and went through this and came home, they can testify to how good you are and how you brought them through. For whatever reason, but we're going to bring them home. We need to keep the faith.
That's
we need
right.
to keep fighting. We need to keep telling it. And I love that y'all are going, I don't care how small, don't waste your time, that little radio. Go on it. Go on and tell somebody.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Brent, I know you got to get going to do your own show here in a minute. So
yeah,
we don't
but
want
first
to...
let me tell you guys, you sound like you've been at this thing a long time. You sound like old pros. This is great, and y'all just kept it a secret from your girlfriend. Didn't even tell me you launched the show. I love it. You sound wonderful. I'm going to be calling in, continuing to help us before my show on Tuesdays. I love you guys, and tonight we're coming up here in 2 minutes on Let's Talk About It, and my subject tonight is the Republicans are having a hissy fit. Obamacare is here. Obamacare, having a hissy fit. That's okay. I just got Obamacare today. Lord, I'm so glad. Oh, Jesus. I didn't have any insurance either. This is a good thing. Hey, guys, I love you, and I'm going to be calling in more often, okay, now that I know where you are.
All right.
We
appreciate it.
Thanks,
Brenda. Thank you so much for your support.
Too,
as always, Brenda, it's a lively conversation when we're talking with you.
Okay,
hey,
and I didn't even cuss, did I?
Hey, you kept it clean.
Judge Neil can cuss a little bit, but once again, Judge Neil said, congratulations, guys, and if we need him, he's there.
Hey, pass on our appreciation to the judge as well, and hope he's doing
so
well.
We're going to have him call in and get involved in this conversation. He's great at this stuff. He taught me all about being an activist.
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you.
Okay, Brenda, have a good night. Have a good show.
Okay, bye-bye.
718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. That was Brenda White, a supporter of the IRP6 and a just cause. Also, later in the program, we're going to have our exoneree moment coming up. And then also on the phones, we have Herman Lindsay. Herman, if you would stay there and just hang on with us for a few minutes so we can take care of a little bit of business, and we will get you on the other side of the break. In the meantime, I want to at least point people to ajustcause.com. a-justcause.com. Also, freetheirp6.org. Freetheirp6.org. Our new website is ajcradio.com. ajcradio.com. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. You're tuned to conservativenationmedia.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said today that the Senate may pursue stronger sanctions against Iran after lawmakers criticized a nuclear accord that would ease sanctions. Reid called the pact negotiated between six world powers and Iran an important first step, but expressed uncertainty whether it would be good enough. Speaking on the Diane Rehm Show, Reid said, quote, "If we need to do stronger sanctions, I'm sure we will do that. We'll move forward appropriately." The Senate Majority Leader acknowledged that President Obama could veto stronger sanctions passed by Congress if he believes that they run counter to his foreign policy agenda. Lawmakers on both sides have criticized the agreement. Democrat Chuck Schumer is among those who have criticized the deal. On Sunday, Schumer said, quote, "It was strong sanctions, not the goodness of the hearts of the Iranian leaders, that brought Iran to the table, and any reduction relieves the pressure of sanctions and gives them the hope that they will be able to obtain a nuclear weapon." Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Soon it'll be all over.
That song is entitled Soon It'll Be All Over, right here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast. That song was written by our own Cole Stewart, which is the son of Cliff Stewart, and performed by Tiffany Stewart and engineered by our control room operator, Dustin Jackson.
And Tip, production.
And Tip Stewart is the daughter of one of the IRP6. And so, you know, Cliff, this is a family affair. And, you know, we talk about that all the time in the sense that, and that's one of the things Brenda was talking about as well, that this thing affects kids. It affects wives. It affects husbands, you know, when for the women that are incarcerated and wrongly incarcerated. So, you know, when someone is incarcerated, it does not just affect the person who is behind bars, but it affects their families. And so,
and
you know,
degree, the families are incarcerated with them.
Oh, very much so. I mean, especially families that are there for their loved ones and the commitment to visit them and to, you know, just be there for them.
Yes.
Okay, I believe we have Yusuf on the phones. We'll come to you in just a second, Yusuf. And before that, we have Herman Lindsay. Herman is an exoneree from Witness to Innocence. And Herman just called in tonight. He has a comment. Herman, thanks for calling into the program. We appreciate you listening. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How everybody else doing?
Everybody's
awesome.
Doing great.
Thank you.
So what's going on, Herman?
I want to comment on that, not getting involved, and I want to thank Ethel for turning me on to listening to this show. I never was aware of it. You know, I'm down here in Florida. But, you know, been exonerated from Florida death row, and I was sentenced and placed on death row for a crime I didn't commit. And there was no eyewitness, no fingerprints, no DNA, nothing but a guy trying to get time cut. And I got convicted and sentenced to death row. That taught me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bitter at the system or anything. I look at the system as being, at the people around the system being naive, because you have to understand, we going at the politics and stuff, but it's like she say, we need to educate the young ones of what's really going on, because those are the potential jurors. Without the jurors making decision to convict, a lot of these cases and a lot of times these guys won't even be in prison, because they go by, they watch this NCSI and CSI stuff, and they don't really know what's going on, and they feel like because the police say something, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They look at it because the state attorney says something, it's what it is. But they never realize those people are not really there at the scene. They're just trying to put a story together to get a conviction.
That's right.
Some of the people in the jury don't want to be there. And half of the ones that's there is not even really attentive. In my case, we was wondering how did they actually mark that I was the gunman when nobody even said I had a gun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Florida, I was the first case down here in Florida history that the Florida Supreme Court, all seven judges agreed that I was innocent, that there was no facts or information to support my conviction. And I think she's right. We need to catch people now. And what I do, I go around to a lot of colleges and high schools and stuff, and I talk about my experience, because those are the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if they meet, you know, you could talk about the things that's going on in these people getting wrongfully convicted and the appeal system and stuff like that. But coming out your mouth and coming out my mouth, a person that's actually been there, they have a difference of listening.
That's right. It makes a difference.
But what we need to educate. And, you know, I was so grateful when I heard Ethel email me. You know, I mean, me personally, I like to get involved in anything I can do to fight. You know, it's not just the justice system. It's also, I mean, you got to understand, a lot of these states are fixing things for ex-cons. You know, they proclaim to have programs for ex-cons that, mm-hmm. that helps them out. But nobody mm-hmm. read the fine print when the bill comes out.
That's for right.
Instance, I never got confiscated. I never got confiscated because I had a prior convicted felon years before I got convicted of this murder. Now, what my past got to do with you wrongfully convicting me for this murder, I don't know. But you don't get confiscated for that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got laws like this background check. How do you expect somebody to get a job or somebody to get a place to stay? I ran into this issue a while back. And I contacted senators, I contacted representatives, and you know I don't even get no responses back. You know,
believe that. And you know, and one thing that you were saying there, Herman, was the fact that, you know, people will listen to you and someone like who has been through it, because you've actually been there. And so, you know, that's one of the things that why we as a Just Cause Coast to Coast, you know, we're providing a platform to talk to folks just like yourself. And we want to ensure that we, you know, educate and bring awareness and information about this kind of stuff. Herman, what we're going to do, I'm going to have Ethel coordinate with you and have Olivia coordinate with you. And we want to have you back on the program next week and so that we can have your full story and have you as our focus for our exoneree moment.
And let me just say, too, thanks so much, Herman. I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you
very much. We really appreciate it. I mean, you know, like you said, as far as getting the word out on these types of things is really important. And that's why we want to be sure that we do that.
Absolutely.
Right after this next break, we're going to have Youssef. And so Youssef will be right there to you here in a second.
America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take away freedom, our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protest your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservationmedia.com, where America always lives.
Listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Our number tonight, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez on the phones. We have Youssef Salam. He is one of the Central Park Five. Youssef, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, sir. Yes, indeed.
All right, all right. Hey, thanks for hanging on for us, and thanks for being our honoree for our exoneree moment
Absolutely.
This evening. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to reach out to an exoneree during each one of our programs because, as Herman was just saying in the previous call, you know, a lot of times, and we were talking about it earlier, a lot of times people do not take note of this type of thing unless it happens to them. So that's why we made a commitment on A Just Cause Coast to Coast to talk about it. And so, Yusuf, as far as the Central Park 5 case, I think you know, there's been a documentary done on this case, and you guys have gotten a lot of press on it. But give us a little bit of background. Give our listeners a little bit of background on it, and then you know, bring us up to speed as to what's happening right now with you and some of the other guys, and then let's just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, you said there's a lot of press and all of that stuff, but the funny thing about it is that back in 1989 and 1990, you know, the media did such a job on us that there were over 400 articles written about us. This is prior to this case even going to trial.
Right.
You know? And many of these articles that were written were definitely very derogatory. They were basically setting the stage so that we can be seen as somebody less than human and to be done away with, you know. Had this been the earlier part of the century, of course, they would have probably came to our homes, drug us out of our houses, and hung us from the trees in Central Park, you know. Our names, our phone numbers, our parents' numbers, our places that we went to school, you know, all of that stuff was inside of the newspaper. They vilified us and made us into the most infamous people who had walked this planet, you know. And so we went through that whole process still with our heads held high, knowing that we didn't do this crime that they had been blaming on us, any of the crimes that they had blamed on us. And we only thing we had at that point was the support of our families, you know, and I'm so happy that the brother mentioned, you know, or one of you guys mentioned the fact that, you know, when one of the loved ones go to prison, the whole family is in prison. Whoever comes to support us, whoever comes
exactly.
to visit us, you know, everybody is in prison along with us. And it's a very strenuous time. It's mm-hmm. a time that you know, if you believe in God, that's going to be your true support, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through that whole time hoping that we were going to get free, hoping that somebody was going to find out we didn't do this. And most of us came home from prison, with the exception of Corey Wise, who had been left in prison. He at that time felt like, you know what, I don't even want to go to the parole board anymore. They told him already that if he had more time, they wish he had more time so that they could continue to hit him. Yeah, so that they can continue to hit him at the parole board. This is how they you know, the whole system was against us. You
right.
know, the media told the story. They painted the picture. The police officers were in cahoots with it all, and they made this thing real because, as the brother said, as soon as people look at these TV shows, they automatically assume that mm-hmm. if it's in the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
if it's on TV, well, it got to be real.
That's right.
You know? So Yes.
Well, you know, that goes, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying about, you know, they're vilifying you in the media. And it just goes to show this whole notion of you're innocent until you're proven guilty. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but this really points it out. I mean, you got people who you haven't really been put on trial yet, per se, in the actual courtroom. But you're on trial in the public light. And the prosecutor and law enforcement and all those people in all those places, they do nothing to try to thwart the fact that, hey, you know, these are innocent men. We have to prove that they're guilty. They let everything go out in the media. They give your, like you said, your parents' information, where you go to school. So everybody can come around your whole community and continue to spew all this negativity. And it's like they want to ensure that the public, in the public's eye, that you're seen guilty before you even ever make it to trial, before any evidence is presented. They're like, we need to make these people look guilty. And it's sickening that they go after these, you know, it's a win at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to
mm-hmm.
convict them no matter. And it comes down to no matter if you're guilty or not.
Well,
if there's evidence or not.
I'm going to go even a step further, because the reality of the matter is that if you're a person of color, we know this. I mean, just in our own professional worlds, right?
That's
we
right.
know that if you're a person of color, prove yourself even if you are the head of the law firm, even if you are the CEO of that particular business, you have, mm-hmm. you know, people look at you and they say, oh, you must be the help. You know, you must be the person who is the janitor, or you must be the secretary or something like that. You can't be the person running the show because people of color aren't in that position, you know. And unfortunately, when they paint this kind of picture, we as a people, and this is one of the most important things that I think that we can learn from as part of when they say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. Everybody is judging the books by the covers that they see. And so right. if we have our young men out here walking around with their pants sagging, telling the world to kiss their behind without realizing where that really comes from, then right. we have to understand that we're continuing the same image that the media wants to portray to the rest of the world. And we have an opportunity to change that, you know. And the worst part about it was that here we were, inner city children. You know, if you look at some of the early articles, I mean, they were talking about we had come from single-family households where our families were crackheads. You know, nobody talked about who were we, where did we come from, nobody asked us ourselves. You know, they didn't know that I was a person that was a graphic designer, that some exactly. of my artwork had been purchased by the one of the heads of the Art Students League of New York. You know, that I had taken art classes at FIT at a young age, you know. They didn't know that my mother was a fashion professor at Parsons Institute of Fashion. You know what I'm saying?
And,
so,
you know,
I mean, all of this stuff, they never told people.
And you stuff to that point, you know, this weekend I was listening to a radio program here in the Denver area. And what you're saying as far as what is put out there in the media is what people tend to believe. And there was this talk show host out of Denver, and I don't recall what the guy's name was, but he made me so angry. I actually called into the show, and unfortunately, there was only like 30 seconds left, and I was not able to get onto the show. But the way he presented this thing, it's like this new thing going on where, you know, kids will walk up to someone, and it's called the knockout game.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
they just walk
yeah.
up to somebody and try and knock them out. Well, he put yeah. a spin on this story that it's only black kids. And then he started talking about, well, where are their parents? And why aren't these black kids out doing something better with their life, like trying to be a – now get this – trying to be a better musician or better athlete. That made me more
wow.
angry than
yeah.
the other statement.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
I mean, if it hadn't been an hour drive away, I think I've
yeah.
But
hey,
to
let
your
me,
point,
let me tell you, man, I that right there is so crazy because – you know, you think about how controlling things are. It's the subliminal stuff, but the way that they turn things and make sure that the only message that gets out, here you are on hold, ready to answer and say something positive and productive, but yet you couldn't because first the length of the time that you had left and then this person who they had on the show, you know.
Exactly.
What's crazy about my story, right, and the story of the Central Park Five is that we were found to be innocent in late 2002, early 2003. You know, it was, as my mother would say, and as she has very eloquently said it, she said it was a whisper that she had wondered if the rats heard. This is how this exoneration, this innocence was publicized. We weren't. You know, so to this day, there were people who were like, the Central Park Five? Oh, yeah, those guys are still locked up. Or if they
right.
knew that we were let go, they said, oh, yeah, these guys got let go because of some technicality. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't until the film came out that we got an opportunity to get our voices back. You know,
right.
this film was so masterfully done that the city of New York, they sued the Florentine Films, which is Ken Burns Films. They mm-hmm. sued them saying that we want the outtakes. We want this is completely one-sided. But yet it only shows the same footage that you saw back in 1989 and 1990. This is completely biased. They even went a step further and said, this film is poisoning the jury pool. Now, I never understood what the jury was until I came home from prison. And then I started thinking about, like, you know, we used to make jokes in the black community. You know, they say you being judged by a jury of your peers. You look up there and you say, well, I don't see where my man Bobo and my man Raheem is at. Where's the jury of my peers at?
Back.
And then you have to understand that this peer group that they are putting you in is the cities and the states that you come from. So
right.
it's up to us to be able to go out there and to influence by painting a real-life picture of this injustice as it goes on. Because, you know, just like Michelle Alexander said, what's happening to all of the black men? We're disappearing, but where are they putting us?
Right.
That's
they
right.
don't.
We became,
they don't.
We became the new Jim Crow, the new slaves. We are.
Right.
We are victims of this system.
And they don't. They don't publicize that part. Just like you say, when you get exonerated, you don't see a great parade of, hey, the Central Park Five were let out. It was found that they never committed these crime things that the prosecutor convicted them on. You know, it was found that the evidence wasn't there. They don't give you that part. It's all about let's get them convicted. Let's keep this stereotype. Let's keep that in the public's eye. Let's maintain this fear of a certain type of people, of people who come from a certain place. Like you say, you know, you have their families, and they don't say that. Hey, you know, Youssef's third cousin on his half brother's side may be the person who was mixed up in drugs. They don't give you that part. They just say,
yeah.
Well, he comes from a family of drug fiends and convicted felons and things like this. Never saying this man is an artist. His mother is a person who basically represents and gives back to the community and all these things. They don't give you that picture. All their picture is about is we're going to ensure that in the public eye, these men are seen as guilty as soon as possible. And like you say, when it comes time for them to say you're exonerated, they might give you half of a paragraph at the bottom of the obituary section.
They're not going to make it right.
Yeah. They were let out.
I'm going to tell you something even crazier, right? This right here, you know, one of the most important things about these exonerations as they are happening real time in the Central Park Five case itself and the Central Park Five film is that this film doesn't really just represent the Central Park Five. This film represents the can of worms that is being shined on, the light that's being shined on the can of worms that caused these criminals, and I call them criminals because that's what it is. It's called the criminal system of injustice, not the criminal justice system. It caused these criminals to build their careers off of our backs.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
saying?
These folks have retired. I mean, you think about Linda Fairstein, right? She writes fiction professionally now. She was doing it already when she was the head of the sex crimes unit. But now she writes fiction professionally. She built a name and a career off of herself, and it was ultimately done off of the practices that were in place by the system that is there to protect and serve us. You see? And if these folks aren't doing their jobs, then what happens? There's people that suffer, but the people who suffer are the people who look like you and me. And that's the unfortunate part about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Youssef, can you hold out and hang out with us for a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
Okay. Stand by just for a moment, and we'll be back here after Go For It, Cliff.
Let's assume if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of these essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot banner. That'll take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot banner to join the conservative revolution. We're America always.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day,
I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
About judicial injustice on the phone this evening, our honorary moment honoree is Youssef Salam, and one of the Central Park Five, a man that was wrongfully convicted, spent time in prison, and fortunately is now out. And Youssef has been on the phones with us for a little bit talking about that case. You know, Cliff, and Youssef, one of the things, Cliff, that jumps out to me as I read this, the profile on Youssef, man, that's something going on in New York when they go after these kids. Youssef, I'm looking at something that says that all of you were between the ages of 14 and 16 when this happened. It seems like they get you in a room, don't tell your parents where you are, and just begin to just, you know, beat you down until you to the point where it's like, okay, whatever you want me to say. I mean, what happened with that situation?
I'm going to tell you what's crazy about this, right? I'm going to just paint a picture just by saying these few words. Our mayor at the time, which was Mayor Dinkins, had just come into office. And unfortunately, when it comes to the status symbols, and you want to make sure that you fit in properly, you know, Mayor Dinkins said, these are urban terrorists.
So he called you guys urban terrorists?
This is what we were called in the papers by our mayor. Now, subsequently, I've seen Mayor Dinkins afterwards, and it's been on a better note. But when you look at and you think about what this word conjures up today, right, they were using tactics, they were using methods, they were using means that were only supposed to be used for hardened criminals. The people who came after us were not the police officers who walk around the beat or who walk through Central Park or anything like that. They called them New York City's elite police officers, Manhattan's homicide detectives, the top of their field. They called them in. And these individuals, as Sarah Burns' subtitle of the book, The Central Park Five, says, this was a chronicle of the city wilding. And see, what they did was this. Because, see, they didn't pick me up until the next evening. But they picked up Raymond Santana and Kevin Richardson that night. Mm-hmm. And they used the same information that you find in the Reed Institute, right? These folks are trained in a tactic which comes with a disclaimer. And this disclaimer says, be careful who you use these tactics on, because it will cause innocent people to confess the crimes that they didn't commit. And so if you look at what they did, they denied them of food. They denied them of water. They denied them of sleep. And then they began to wear them down, and they was playing not the good cop, bad cop roles that you see on TV. They were doing technology at the highest level. You see? They would bring folks out of the room. They would act like they were about to beat you down and kill you. And then somebody would come and save you, and you would think that these folks are your friends.
Right, right.
And so by the time I got to the precinct, they had already been working on Raymond Santana and Kevin Richardson for almost 24 hours. You see?
Man. And so they paint a picture to you that and all you like, oh, my God, they definitely going to kill me when they get me in there.
And how old were you? Yourself?
Wow.
Like, I'm just about to turn 40 in February. I just turned 15 in February. This was April 19th. You see what I'm saying? So when they did this, even the tactics that they were using against me, they wanted us so bad that even though they didn't have a written confession from me or a videotaped confession from me, they still said, we're going to paint this picture and we're going to make it stick because we got a judge that's handpicked. We got the prosecutors that's down with the status quo and they've been doing this forever. This
right.
is how we get down and this is how we're going to build our careers. These
and
folks have already retired.
They painted the picture in the public eye that these men are guilty.
Yeah.
And they have put it out there like we got all the evidence
yeah.
against them. They got this, they got that. They have put it out there and be like, only thing we need them to do now is confess so that, you know, basically the city can be happy
mm-hmm.
and we can get along with it because they're getting – and they paint this picture
mm-hmm.
that – you guys are the ones who did it, and nobody in the public eye. Then how are you going to get a jury that's unbiased?
It's a facade.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You give this put out this propaganda that we got our guys, and they're locked up, but the real killer is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, okay, and you know, there have been case after case where this kind of thing happens, where, you know, they have the wrong person locked up, and only later that the real person – I think that happened in O'Connell's case, you know, that we had on a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
that the real guy, you know, had committed another murder.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
so, you know, and so, Yusuf, when was the DNA testing and all that? When did that come into the picture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were testing our DNA in 1989. They took swabs of blood from us. They took swabs of saliva, hair samples. We had it's such a dehumanizing process. You have to take pubic hairs out of your own pubic area and give it to these folks, you know? And when you go through this whole process, and then they put on the news DNA match, right?
Are you kidding?
And if we look at the book And the Blood Cried Out by Harlan Levy, it paints mm-hmm. It tells this whole story to a T. It says they thought they had the DNA match. They jumped the gun and said there was a DNA match, and then the DNA came back and it didn't match.
Now,
and
how
so
they
swept it.
Think you
they swept it underneath the rug.
That's all about that propaganda. And
I'm gonna tell you, it's so crazy. The propaganda was so crazy that they swept it under the rug, and what
yeah.
was left in the public's eye was the residue.
Yeah.
That there was something about DNA in this case. And that's all they needed.
Right. And you know that helps their lie to gain momentum,
mm-hmm.
keep momentum.
Keep it going.
And it becomes like, you know, you're swimming against the tide.
Yeah.
And the public opinion is still that, you know, where they got the Central Park Five guys and, you know, and they got who did this thing, keeping it under the rug as far as what the true story is.
And then, I mean, how do you, after all this propaganda and all this information, all these lies are put out in the public eye, then how do you get a jury that you can say, okay, well, this jury is unbiased. They're going to go into it and say, okay, we have to wait to see the evidence against these men. That is ridiculous. You're not going to get an unbiased jury. The whole nation had seen stuff about the Central Park Five. And now all of a sudden you think you're going to pull from Manhattan, from areas near Central Park where this happened, and you're going to pull a jury pool that's going to give you guys a fair shake. That's impossible. That would never have happened.
And how could they get a jury of their peers, though? That's what I need to know.
And, you know,
exactly.
Cliff, this makes me think about, and you know, we have certain things that come up on the show, and it just kind of sticks with you. And when we have this discussion, it takes me back to when we had Lamont Banks
right,
on.
Exactly.
And you said we had an exoneree on by the name of Lamont Banks, and he was on a couple of weeks ago. And he was wrongly convicted, and he has since been exonerated and has been released. But when they had the jury selection, his defense attorney, there were about 60 potential jurors in the jury room, mm-hmm. and his defense attorney asked the question, how many people in this room mm-hmm. believe that because Mr. Banks is sitting in the defendant's chair that he must have done something wrong?
Oh, wow.
Yusuf, all 60 people raised their hand, and they still selected from that jury pool. I mean, this is some of the most absurd stuff you've ever heard of.
Hey,
Yusuf, hold on just for a moment.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
So, Yusuf, hopefully you guys, I mean, granted, the fact that you got wrongly convicted and the way they tried to put the spin on it, I mean, that had to have been one of the worst things as a teenager. I mean,
yeah.
we talk about some of these stories, and I just, you know, I'm riding around in my car and thinking about, okay, you were 15, and you know, when I was 15, I was thinking about, you know, getting my learner's permit, you know, going to football practice and all that kind of stuff. And if I had been subjected to that kind of thing, you know, that's just terrible. I mean, so what is going on now, Yusuf, in your case? I see that that you have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've not received any kind of compensation for this atrocity, these egregious acts that were done against you. So what's going on now?
Yeah, you know, so we've been fighting this case since we were found to be innocent. And this case was moving at a snail's pace. And a lot of people don't know this, but the history behind why this thing was moving the way it was moving was this. So Mayor Mike Bloomberg used to work for Solomon Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Mealy, the Central Park jogger, was an investment banker at Solomon Brothers. I mean, if you put one and one together, you get two.
Right.
And we can understand exactly what's going on with that.
Exactly.
We've been fighting and fighting and fighting and have not received any kind of resolution. But yet, when everyone sees this film, The Central Park Five, I've had people come up to me in audiences that were filled, and they said things like, you know, I was coming to see this film because I couldn't understand why Ken Burns was making a film about rapists. And then they come to me and they say, I'm so happy I came to see this film because for the very first time in my life, I realized that you guys were completely framed and you guys were innocent. And they apologized to me and gave me a hug and asked me to take a picture with them. And see, this is part of us getting our lives back. But this case right here only started gaining momentum when the film came out.
Wow.
The people started asking questions. What's going on with the Central Park Five case? What's happening with this case? Why is it moving so slow? They were found to be innocent. I mean, look at what Morgenthau said. He said, had we known then what we know now, we wouldn't have even convicted these guys. But they did know then what they knew now.
That's
and they
right.
still convicted us.
That's right.
You know?
Hey, Yusuf,
but I mean,
we'll be
right
back.
Now,
we'll be right back and get some closing thoughts from you. Let us go to this break. We'll be right back to Yusuf Salam right after this break. A Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
it's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Doug Paul, Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here each Tuesday evening on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I'm being joined by my co-hosts, Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. On the phones, we have Yousef Salam, one of the Central Park Five. And Yousef, we really appreciate you joining us this evening. And a heart-touching story. I mean, you know, whenever we hear these stories, man, and when we're in the break, we just have some good conversations going on here. And it's just amazing the things that the lengths that people would go to, as you were stating, to, you know, for their own career progression and, you know, at the cost of the lives of five young men who you know, had done no wrong. So, Yousef, you talk about the film. You got some other things going on. You're speaking. So what's on your agenda as far as the film goes and some showings on that? And then how can folks get in contact with you and reach out to you and give us a little bit about, you know, where you're going to be going over the next few days?
So, you know, I mean, I work full-time. I have to definitely provide for my family, and that's a good thing. One of the best things that happened was that this film came out and was able to give us our lives back. But it's still a scary thing because, you know, when people recognize us on the streets, we don't always know whether this person is a friend or a foe. You know, sometimes when people there's been folks who have seen the images of the film and have not seen the film itself and have been adamantly saying, I prefer my tunnel vision to what this show is going to show me, you know. And, you know, I just wanted to make a comment real quick about something that you said a few moments ago. You said it's amazing that they will go through these lengths. You know, I was conversing with Ken Burns once, and I said, you know, this is a complete conspiracy what they do to us, you know. And Ken Burns said, there is no conspiracy. And I said, Ken, you know, what do you mean? You know, I was a little bit caught off guard by that statement. He said, Yousef, this is just part of the plan.
Wow.
And I mean, when we can understand that this is how devious this is. This is why I call it the criminal system of injustice. You know, when I go around and I speak to the public, I've gone to elementary schools, I've gone to high schools, I've gone to colleges and universities, I've gone to speak to the future lawyers, the future police officers. I've been around the world via Skype talking to people and drumming up support about this case. And this is one of the things that really assists us. We don't always find justice in the courtroom. As a matter of fact, most of the times we don't. But we realize and understand that the cases that we are in are won in the streets. If the jury of our peers become critical thinkers, can begin to say, wait up, this story just doesn't make any sense, then now we have a chance. Because then we'll have someone who's looking at us if we're standing or sitting in the perpetrator's seat, will say, well, why is that free man sitting in the perpetrator's seat when all these criminals are standing around him?
Right.
You
know? So, I mean, you know, I urge people to reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. I'm actually all over the place on social media, you know. But if somebody wants to, you know, reach out to me directly, we work with the Innocence Project, you know. But I can be reached directly at YousefSpeaks@gmail.com, you know, and I tell people all the time, man, you know, we're very accessible. I mean, we do have jobs that we do daily because we need to provide for our families. But on occasion, when we can get out there and we can show our faces in the public and we can talk about this case and shed light on this can of worms as it's unfolding, Mm-hmm. We want the public to be witnesses to the justice that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right, and just like you say, you know, people, they really don't want to deal with the fact that, hey, we gotta come together, we gotta put it out there and say, look, if you're gonna be a jury, I mean, at the probability of American citizens being called to jury duty is very high. That's what it's there for. The pool to say you're gonna be called for jury duty as a citizen. The citizen needs to be educated, needs to understand your rights as a juror. You need to have some understanding of the law. You need to understand and believe that a person is innocent until they've been proven guilty, not just because there's a prosecutor there. I mean, a prosecutor's job is to say this person is guilty. I mean, their opening statement, shows this person as, you know, this is Frankenstein wrapped up with Dracula and the Wolfman all in one. And you have to, as a citizen, as a person, say, you know what, I am going to not let the prosecutor invoke my imagination that this person is a monster, but I'm gonna look at it from the fact that, hey, our system of justice is supposed to be, this man is innocent. They prove him guilty. Make me believe, show me why he's a monster, not just because you said so, not just because you said, well, we pluck some hair and this is werewolf hair. No, show me how you got that off this man. Make me believe that.
And
he's
juries
a
have to demand that type
they
of thing.
Have
you know,
to.
You know, Cliff and Yusuf on the show coming up on one of our shows, we're going to have representatives from an organization called the Fully Informed Jury Association, and the Fully Informed Jury Association is all about that. It's like, you know, they get folks in there, like you said, supposedly, you know, a jury of your peers. And they're sold a bill of goods, and they, you know, they buy a hook, line, and sinker, and then you end up having, you know, time after time after time, and it is getting real old that you have innocent people that are being convicted and sentenced
and
to prison.
They need to go back and look at that statement, innocent until proven guilty, or, you know, I mean, not in a court of law here. There's no such thing. I mean, that whole thing is backwards. You're guilty until you proven innocent, and that is, you better prove yourself innocent.
And that's because the prosecutor is allowed to go in and basically say that you're guilty when you have not been proven innocent. That is the root of the problem, is that the system is broken, and the power that they give the prosecutor and the judge to basically put you in the position of being a convict.
Yeah.
Before you even take the stand.
It starts with that word indictment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, indictment means that you've been accused of something, but they throw that word around as if, you know, the jury, the trial conviction and the gallows are already ready. And it's like you're not innocent according to that word.
That's exactly right.
And as soon as your name is spread all over the media, and like you were saying, Yusuf, they use the media to facilitate that lie against you guys.
Yeah.
And so, Yusuf, your closing thoughts as far as, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, as you said, folks can find all kinds of information on you and the rest of the Central Park Five. I mean, they can go to the Daily Beast, Wikipedia. They can follow you on Twitter, Innocence Project, Huffington Post, all over the place they can find information about you. So closing thoughts, Yusuf, and again, thank you for joining us. Go for it.
So I'm so appreciative that you use the words the system is broken. You know, I look at similar cases like the Duplett Cross case and look at the outcome of what happened. You know, judges were fired, I think, and prosecutors went to jail. I mean, what they do in New York City is so completely wrong, and what they do around the world is so completely wrong that we need to restore the justice system so that people can say we are truly a great nation. And we are not a nation that robs its resources, and we put our own people in slaves, and we have that as a part of our Constitution. We need to understand what the law is, and we need to also understand that there needs to be a fair game that goes on. There can't be a, once we get hit to the law, they change the law on us kind of thing. You know, of us only find out the law from hip-hop music. Jay-Z said, you can't search my car because you don't got a warrant. And then the folks started saying, what you mean they can't search your car if they don't got a warrant? You know, We need to understand what's going on with this. This is some serious, serious stuff.
Yeah.
Yusuf, again, thanks for joining us on A Just Cause Coast to Coast. That's Yusuf Salam, one of the Central Park Five. Spent a little time with us this evening as our exoneree moment, exoneree. Yusuf, we appreciate you spending time with us, and you can reach out to Yusuf at yusufspeaks@gmail.com, yusufspeaks@gmail.com, and then you can also follow him on Twitter at Yusuf Salam. That's YUSEFSALAAM. Yusuf, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and much love to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Coming to the close of another Tuesday evening right here on A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Folks, you can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And then also for more information about the IRP6, you can go to a-justcause.com, a-justcause.com. You can also get more information about about the IRP6 at freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org. And we have a new website, ajcradio.com, ajcradio.com, and then also check out change.org, where we have a new petition trying to get Attorney General Eric Holder to look into this thing about the 200 pages of missing transcript, you know, in the IRP6 case. And we've got some good things going on there with our attorneys, Mark Garagos, Tina Glandian, and Cornell Johnson. Ethel, what's that phone number as far as reaching out to Attorney General Eric Holder?
Listeners, do go out there. Take a moment away from the turkey. By the way, happy Thanksgiving Day to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Take a moment away and make that phone call to Eric Holder's office, 202-514-2003 or 2005. Tell him to investigate the case of the missing transcript in the IRP 6 case.
I want to give a shout-out Dustin Jackson, Captain Kyle, Ill Skillers Girl, over in the production room. I want to say thank you to our guests, everybody in the chat room, all those who called in. Yusuf Salam, we definitely appreciate you calling in. To our media support team, we couldn't do it without you. And to the truth, we know you out there. We appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving to all and to all. Have a good night.
Hey, A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Again, thanks to Brenda White for joining in on the call earlier this evening.
We love you, Brenda.
Yusuf Salam, Central Park 5, thanks again for calling. Duke Brooks.
Thank you.
Stephen Smith, ConservativeNationMedia.com. Thanks for everything that you do, Duke. And we look forward to, you know, folks need to tune in to Duke. A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good night, America. Thank you.